Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm joined today by my amazing sister in Christ, Cassie Hutton. For those of you who are new to Cassie's world, here are a few things that you should know about Cassie. She is a former school teacher turned homeschooling mom of five. She also chose to birth all of her children at home and raise them on her homestead as old souls, which I absolutely love. Every time I read that, it just lights me up. She's doing this to help them disconnect from this interconnected and fallen world. Now, Cassie isn't just a homeschooling mom of five, as if that didn't take up enough time, but she's also a coach and mentor for Christian women. Her life's work is helping them reach and achieve the breakthrough that they've been longing for through her framework called Made Whole. She also has a Made Whole mentorship and community. Today we're going to be talking from the topic of Cassie's personal exodus from deception to identity. And she's going to walk us through what it looks like to disconnect from this interconnected world. Cassie, I'm so excited that you're here with us for the summit. So tell us, how did you come up with the title for today's session?
So actually, that is the subtitle of my autobiography, if you will. I wrote that back in 2019. It's called Finding Freedom, but the subtitle is A Personal Exodus from Deception to Identity. And so that's how I came up with that today. And I was going to share my personal story of really salvation and how I had hidden in shame for so long.
I'm so excited for you to share your testimony. If you can, take us back to the beginning. I'd love to know maybe some of the steps that led you to shame, and then how you realized you were experiencing shame.
Yeah. You really don't. Man, when you're not a believer and you're not a Christian, you don't have the verbiage a lot of times for what you're experiencing and what you're going through. But to go back, just a little bit of my background. So I grew up in what you could call a broken home. I grew up with a stepfather. My mom was such a hard worker and provided for us. My stepdad just had a lot of mental issues, health issues that obviously we know now are just so interconnected with each other. And so grew up in just a very dysfunctional home, if you will. But my mom was always carrying the burden for our family financially, emotionally, never knew what she was going to come home to. And naturally, as a young girl that doesn't really grow up with a father figure, what does she do? She a lot of times will turn to whatever will fulfill that void. And that's what I did. And so I did turn to boys and didn't really have a whole lot of girlfriends growing up. I did, but I was never close to girlfriends like I saw other friendships develop. And I always longed for that and wondered, like, why don't I have that? I did have one best friend that I would say we were really close, but also our friendship would go from like really close for a few months and then we would be distanced for a few months and then we'd come back together. And so it was a lot of inconsistency, but we still love each other to this day. So when I was 17, I was dating a guy that didn't live anywhere near close to me. And we just had this wonderful plan that we could have a baby and we could be together all the time, which just sounds so silly. And it's always so hard to admit, even now, looking back, but that was the reality of it. And I know that many young teenagers that are lost and broken and just have that need for a father's love, that might be the decision that they made, not understanding the consequences of it. And so I was pregnant at 17, going into my senior year of high school. You choose abortion, and I followed through with that appointment. And it took a couple of months for the reality of what actually happened and what really triggered in me. I know a lot, some women have abortion and they don't react emotionally and traumatically like I did, but it took me a few months. And I, for some reason, made, I guess you decide then that now, and your mom, like my mom, knew about the abortion and fully supported me in it. And like I said, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so afterwards, coming home, then it's now you need to get on birth control. And we don't have these discussions about having sex is not something that God created outside of marriage. We don't have discussions about purity. We don't have discussions about how are you doing after you've chosen to, in a sense, murder your baby. There was no checking in on me. There was no, it was just, it was done. And now we're not going to speak of it, and we're going to move on and pretend like it never happened. And so that creates a real place of isolation, and obviously a huge open door for the enemy to come in and torment. And that's exactly what happened. I would lie awake in bed at night just thinking about what happened. And I guess to get back to what I was saying, this idea of I had to go get on birth control now. Really, that was when I made an appointment with an OB and went to get on birth control, and they have to do all the exams and all the things. That really triggered the trauma to set in. And so from that point forward, I've always associated OBGYNs and with abortion. And I've always associated the medical field and all of those things around this trauma that happened to me, or that I chose to bring it into my life, but unaware of the consequences of what was truly going to happen. And I believe this lie. I teach this in my course about generational curses and generational sins. And for so long, I had seen generational cycles and generational sins as such a spiritual thing. Like when you pray against soul ties, you're praying against, a lot of times we love to use this example of you're praying against a ungodly soul tie. And a lot of times it was either a relationship with someone that you fell in love with and it became unhealthy, or you slept with them outside of biblical marriage. And so you are breaking that thing, and you're no longer tied to it. And I had listened to generational curses and cycles being taught that way, but really a lot of generational cycles and curses come back to a mindset of what our parents are teaching us as we grow up and what society is teaching us as we grow up. And we get this mindset. And my mindset was, the reason I chose an abortion was because the lie that you're never going to make it. You're going to always work at McDonald's. You're always going to struggle for the rest of your life. You are not going to have any help. You're just a teenage mom. All the lies that you're just going to be poor, broken, and good for nothing. And obviously, that's a huge lie. God calls children a blessing no matter how they come into this world. And if we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was a teenage girl and she was unwed, and she by law should have been stoned to death. And what did she do? She said, "Your will be done." She accepted it. She said, "Whatever you want, Lord." And so she became the vessel for Jesus to be born in this earth. And here we are telling teenage mothers that you have to choose an abortion. We're not empowering them. We're not teaching them to turn to the Lord. We're not submitting ourselves to Christ. Instead, we're teaching them that you have no power and you're worthless because you're fulfilling your duty, your God-given duty. It's not duty, calling. And it's such a backward mindset. And I spent about 11 years. I was already married and had two children, and they were the reason that I chose midwives, because I felt like I would have freedom. I would not be bound to certain structure from OBs and doctors. And in the Western medicine world, I felt like I would have freedom to choose what I wanted to choose in my births, and I would not be re-traumatized. And I had beautiful, five beautiful births. And but after my first two were born, I married into a Christian family, although my husband was not a practicing Christian, if you will, but he grew up to know the Lord and to love the Lord. And I had a lot of Christian influence around me my first couple of years of marriage. And so I remember telling my husband, I'm ready to start going to church. And whatever, we agreed upon a church that wasn't too far from us. He agreed to it. He used to go there as a young teenager. And so he felt comfortable with it. And I was like, I didn't know any different. So whatever, it's a church. And I remember I started going, and really it was because my first two boys are born 12 months apart. And so I was highly stressed and just looking for a break. And I tell people, I'm like, honestly, that's the reason I started going to church. I could put my kids in daycare and just go sit in a pew and have someone pour into me instead of me constantly pouring into my children all day. And so I did that. And there was a women's retreat coming up. And in that women's retreat, we went through a lesson, and she really started speaking on loneliness. And what I realized now was really touching on the deeper root issue of rejection. And I remember going around the table and people just really sharing their testimony and really focusing in on salvation and that moment of salvation. And I just remember it getting to me, and I was like, I don't know. I don't have that moment of salvation. I just have always believed in Jesus. And a woman just kindly looked at me and said, you should really ask the Lord. Just pray about it and ask the Lord if you've ever been saved. And so it was very non-threatening and a really good place for me to start. And so I took her words of advice. And also, there was another lady that weekend that really just kept saying, God is going to speak to you. And I remember as a young child always really believing that God really did speak. And then I was really all I always expected God to work miracles in my life. For some reason, that is what I truly saw God as, was great and powerful and a miracle worker. And so as I sat there and I began to pray, there were these breakout sessions. That's what they were saying, like, really listen for the voice of the Lord and what breakout session you're supposed to go to. And so I just began to pray, and I heard the Lord say audibly in his audible voice, say, go share your testimony. And so that I knew at that moment what that was really speaking to, that loneliness that the Lord was beginning to open up my heart towards, because I was specifically allowing my mind and my heart to go back to that 17-year-old girl that was extremely traumatized, that was extremely isolated in her bed, laying awake till 2 and 3 a.m., crying, couldn't sleep without the lights on, couldn't sleep without the TV on, because my mind would just spiral into remembering all of the things and the decisions that I had made. And that was the shame, right? That was the shut your voice down. That was the go run and hide, because anytime obstetrician was mentioned, or pregnancy was mentioned, or having babies, or abortion, anytime it came on the news, that was like, oh, nope, I'm about to spiral out of control. I have to run and hide. I can't listen to that. It's too much of a reminder, and I'm going to be stuck in that for the rest of the day and all night long. And that gave me the boldness. When the Lord said, go share your testimony, that gave me the boldness to go, I can do this. I can break out of this shame, because that's what shame does, is that it shuts your voice down. It causes you to not speak. And God has called you to speak. God has given us his voice to share with the world what we've been through so that we can help the next person. And so when shame comes in, that's exactly what happens. You stop talking about your story. And I got up and I went and wrote my name down on how to share your testimony for that breakout session, although it had obviously a whole lot deeper meaning than just this breakout session. And then I went back and I prayed. And a week prior to this, we had just finished up my cousin's murder trial. She had been shot and murdered by her son's father. And the Lord said to me, because I've forgiven you, you must forgive him. And this was not audibly, this was just, I heard his spirit speak to mine. And I saw visions of like chains breaking, and I saw myself fall to my knees, which represented humility. And it was from such a loving God whenever he spoke those words to me. And he showed me that I was no different than this murderer who had taken a gun and planned out this murder and shot my cousin and killed her right in front of her son. and that I was no different, but in that God loved us the same, and that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, no matter our sins, no matter how much shame we've brought into this world or onto people or onto ourselves, that God loves us and he forgives us all the same, no matter what we've done. And I just had such love for the world at that point. And I had such love even for this man that my family now hated. And say, like, the best thing that could have ever happened to me was what happened to her, and that I would have never had this deep revelation of what abortion is and what and how God sees it. And I would have never gotten set free because I don't know that the Lord would have been able to use another analogy to show me what abortion really is in his eyes. And so that really broke me out of shame. And but then I've also, not to get into this story much deeper, because I know you've got some questions for me, but I've experienced shame on another level after I became a Christian and experiencing my voice getting shut down over some family issues that happened and really having to work through shame again. But I can say the number one thing is that it shuts your voice down. And the thing is that if you don't ever begin to start sharing your story, despite how badly you feel like you don't want to share your story, God's calling you to share your story, you'll never get fully healed. Your heart healing, that inner healing that God wants to set you free from, when you begin to share your story, that's actually when the healing begins to happen. And then you start learning that it gets easier and easier to talk about. It gets you learn wisdom behind how to share your story and how what you need to share that actually helps people and what you should hold back and what you should be extremely vulnerable in. And if we don't ever share our stories, it doesn't allow for that vulnerability in the church. And it creates a facade almost that our struggles aren't real. And so sharing your story, I guess I would say is the best way that God calls us to step out of shame. I did a podcast not long ago on the woman with the issue of blood, and I talked about that, how she stepped out of shame because she shared. Jesus allowed her to share her entire story with him. Why would she need to share her story with Jesus? Jesus already knows her story. It's for her healing. She was seen and she was heard. How many times had she not been seen, not been heard, been shut down? But when Jesus came on the scene, he wiped away that shame.
That is so good. And I love how connected we are because you said, I know you have a few questions for me. You
Yeah.
proactively answered like two of the three questions that were coming up for me. So I thank the Holy Spirit for just allowing the conversation to flow. You just said something that's really powerful and important. I want to call it back to the listener's attention. When you said that it was through using your voice that you were able to become free from shame. And I think that's so important because one of the greatest tactics, in my opinion, of the enemy is to make us to believe that because we've sinned, because we've done some act that has brought on shame, we are apart from God. And I loved how you shared how God literally sat with you and reminded you that he loved you, reminded you that he sent his only son for you, right? He reminded you that he wouldn't leave you. Like, even in the story, how you mentioned that you wouldn't have wanted to learn the lesson about forgiveness and love and redemption through the means in which he shared it, like through your cousin's passing, well, murder. But how he was able to take that, something that was devastating to you and your family, and still bring you revelation and healing through it. I wanted to make sure that wasn't lost on the listeners today. You don't have to go through this on your own. You don't have to experience shame and then hide in a corner or hide in your room in isolation or feel like you have to keep it to yourself. It is through the power of our testimony that we are set free. It is through speaking his word over ourselves that we are set free. I loved everything that you just said. It was just so much revelation in what you just shared.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember being a brand new Christian and like walking through the grocery stores and being like, thinking about the person standing next to me and thinking, do they have this revelation? Do they have this gift? Jesus, how do I let them in on this? And even going to church, I could see after that, I could see how much baggage people were carrying around this with them in the church. And it was so sad to me. I remember carrying the burden for them and just crying, weeping, seeing that Jesus, they don't have the revelation of your heart. I know they don't. I know that they love you. I know that they have salvation, but they're lacking something so much deeper. And to touch on what I was saying about when we went through our family dispute after a few years after I became a Christian, what I just said to you about I was able to see how so many Christians were carrying all this baggage of unforgiveness and just the tangled mess. It was just very easy for me to discern. And I could just see the wounds. Really, I just would see them as an infected wound. I could see the ones that were infected with unforgiveness and bitterness and just not being able to let go of things. And so I put myself in that place the other day, and because I'm still working through some of the family things. And I thought I had a little bit more compassion on those who I've seen in the church. And I thought, you know what? They probably were really set free at one point. And then we get into our Christian walk, and when the battles come and church hurt comes or family hurt comes and things are just thrown at us, we can just get caught up in it and not even realize how deep we are into it at that moment. And then go, I once had that new bridegroom love for you, Jesus. Where is that? And to we, I guess I'm saying all of this to say, take a step back and remember what it was like in the beginning. And if you don't have that same devotion and that same fiery passion, look inwardly. What is it that you're holding on to? What hurts and pains have come along your walk and along your path that have got you tied down? That Jesus is saying, this is an invitation, just like I did whenever I allowed Jesus to take me back to that sin, that place where I was in such shame. I allowed Jesus to open my heart and say, this was loneliness. He named it. This was loneliness that you were experiencing. And I'm here to break that loneliness off of you. And, you know, it may not come through in a miracle moment because miracles are for salvation. To prove that Jesus is who he says he is. And then as we get into our Christian walk, it's more of a healing journey and an invitation for us to really face and work on our character molding.
Yeah, that's so good. I want you to take us back for a moment. You mentioned that in order to reach your exodus, in order to come out of the place where you had been, that dark place, you had to accept God's perfect love and you had to find your identity. When you came to the awareness that you were believing lies for the truth and that you didn't have the proper foundation for your identity, what was your first next step?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that question. So, the reason for that subtitle of my book, From Deception to Identity. So, the very next step that I took was just to read my Bible. I read my Bible as much as I could after that women's conference. And I remember, I think it was Job. I picked up Job and started reading in there for the first time. And it was like, wow, this is suddenly making sense. I can actually read my Bible and I'm like intrigued by it and I'm absorbing it. And that whole week, so many lies were replaced with truth. And a week later, I was sitting in the Young Married's Sunday morning class. And it was a very interesting morning because it was at a Baptist church. And anyways, the instructors of that class, she had experienced a lot of spiritual warfare that week, and she called on a deliverance minister that she knew of and went to this deliverance minister, and she was saying, like, I'm experiencing all of these symptoms of multiple sclerosis, but she had been healed of multiple sclerosis, MS, because it's hard for me to say it, years ago. And she said, I know that these are not my symptoms coming back. This is an imitation. This is a lie, and I need deliverance. And so this deliverance minister began praying over her, and they were sharing this story and saying, She called out all of these very specific spirits mentioned in the Bible, but they could not remember any of the spirits that she called out by name, except for one spirit mentioned in John chapter 4, verse 6, and it's the spirit of error. And when they said the spirit of error that morning, I saw a physical shadow come out of my body and leave out of the building. It like went through the wall, I guess you will. And in that moment, my eyes were completely opened to the so much more deception that I had been believing. And what the spirit of error, what I've come to find out after really studying it, is that it's a really worldly mindset. So going back to me listening to the world when I chose abortion, you're going to work at McDonald's the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to go to college. You're not going to have a good job. You're going to be broke. You're going to live on welfare and have to use food stamps and never have a good life. That's what the world tells you. That's not what the Bible tells you. That's not the promise that Jesus gives you. And so I had this very worldly mindset. And so that's what the spirit of error comes to do. It teaches us to think like the world, to act like the world, and to be in friendship with the world. And Jesus says to separate yourself, think differently, do differently. Don't make choices like the world. Don't listen to the world. And it can be in any and all areas of our life.
That is so good. God is so good. I just thank him for setting hearts and minds free. As you have shared this with me, I've learned so much and recalled so much. Like just the thoughts and ideas that maybe you don't even think they're bad. And if you are looking through the gaze of your flesh, they might not appear bad. But just remembering that the Bible is our foundation. It's the light. It's the truth. And it is what we should be aspiring towards versus anything that culture or society tries to teach us. I thank you for being a truth teller. I thank you so much for showing up here and talking about abortion. I know that it's not something that is often, you know, talked about openly. Right? Because everyone's afraid of being canceled. They're afraid of not being politically correct. But I appreciate your honesty.
Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Before you get out of here, I would love for you to tell our listeners how they can stay connected with you.
Yes, I would love to connect with all of you. You can go to my website, cassiehutton.com, sign up for my emails. You'll see the pop-up. And of course, there's some free resources for you there if you sign up for my emails and get on my email list so that we can stay connected. I'm also on Instagram at Barefoot Faith, but it's B-E-A-R. Foot, F-O-T, Barefoot Faith, which is the title of my podcast, Barefoot Faith, where we talk about biblical revelation and I share on all things inner healing. And I also have a Facebook group that I'm going to butcher the name of it at the moment, but it's called Made Whole Group Mentorship. That's not exactly right, but you should be able to find it if you type in those words. The name of my course is Made Whole, and I'm offering a group mentorship. And we're actually starting October 8th. So if you're listening to this right during everything that Simona is doing, that this is the perfect time to jump in and get in on the group mentorship. I'm taking 10 ladies. So I've already got two at this point of our interview committed. I'm excited to just walk through and help ladies find the healing that they need.
I love that.
Yeah. So the Inner Healing Toolkit for Christian Women, a lot of those resources are pulled from my course, but you get an extra teaching to go along with it. And I organized it differently. And one of the main resources that every woman finds so helpful in my course is what I call the Daily Anger Journal. And as moms and just women that get overwhelmed, because a lot of times we're trying to do things the way that men are designed to do things. And God's called us with a feminine spirit to do things in a more relaxed way. I just kind of preface that to say that might be a lot of times where your anger is coming from, but I have this daily anger journal that prompts you with questions and emotions, what you're feeling, why did you feel it, who did it come from, and all the questions to help you gauge what might be possibly triggering that rage that you're feeling, the mom anger, and to help you hone in on exactly what the emotions are. And then are there other physiological factors going along with it? And it's also equipped with an emotion wheel to help you. A lot of times, if you could just name that emotion, you feel seen. And you can now call it what it is and begin to work on it. And so those are the things, and I'll walk you through that. And also in that link, you'll be able to find how to connect with me and all of the things. But the Inner Healing Toolkit for Christian Women is, I hope that it's very helpful for you. I put that together just for y'all. And like I said, I'm giving you one of the resources in my course that so many women find the most helpful.
I am so excited about that. I'll make sure we include those links right under your interview and, of course, in the show notes of the podcast in case anyone is listening on the go. Again, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us. To all of our listeners, stick around and take a listen to some of our other sessions.
Thank you so much for having me.